We are once again on the Global Mission Prayer Network prayer line, and we're continuing the series tonight on spiritual warfare prayers. This is part two of that series. We had part one a couple of weeks ago. Matter of fact, last night at church, this was the topic of our discussion, and we had a long discussion, very animated, had a lot of good stuff that came out talking about this concept of how we can pray spiritual warfare prayers, but most of all, how we really have been given all authority over all the works of the enemy. That authority belonged to Jesus. He delegates it to us, and then he expects us to use that against evil spirits, against the powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, those kinds of things. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. Is I'm sharing with you some of the spiritual warfare prayers that I pray. Some of them I pray every day. Some folks have kind of sometimes they get a little upset about the idea of praying rote prayers. In other words, praying the same prayer every day, every day, every day. But you know what? In the early church, the disciples questioned whether or not you were a Christian if you didn't pray the Lord's Prayer at least three times a day, and the first time had to be before daybreak. So that concept of praying a consistent prayer is, I think, very much part of our church history. Before I go on, I want to make sure that y'all have our website, because these teachings are going up on the website as I do them. I also put up a written study guide. It's a PDF that you can find on our website. The website is CEC Messiah, CECMESSIAH.org. And if you go to the sermons section, you'll be able to find a listing of this message. It'll be up probably tomorrow sometime, and a lot of other messages. And you'll also be able to find the PDF on the teaching guide. So anyway, to sum up where we left off last time, we spent a lot of time looking at scriptures in Luke 9, Luke 10, Mark 16, the last part of Mark 16, where the Bible makes it very clear that we've been given all authority over all the works of the enemy. And these spiritual warfare prayers that I'm sharing with you are some of the ways that I exercise that authority and operate in that authority. And so we talked about a prayer last time of a prayer that gets rid of curses, a prayer that pushes curses off of us, and it included praying for those who might have cursed us. We talked about how curses are very real. If for no other example, you can go to the story of Balaam in Numbers 22 and 23, where he was asked to curse Israel and just absolutely would not do that, because he knew that curses were real and God wouldn't let him curse Israel. So now I want to get to a prayer that I alluded to last time right before we signed off, and that was what I call the prayer against the evil giant crab prince. And I know that sounds a little funny, but let me tell you where this prayer came from. We, Debbie and I, often travel with Bishop Chuck, and often travel by ourselves, and we bring a team of folks with us to help minister. And so we have kind of a ministry team. Grace is part of that ministry team. Our grandchildren are part of that ministry team. We see lots of miracles. But we also, as a team, we oftentimes see a lot of hindrance from the enemy. He doesn't like what we're doing. And a few years ago, we were scheduled to go to Tanzania and minister in, I was really looking forward to ministering to pastors and to churches there in the area of Lake Victoria. And something happened. Bishop Chuck had some heart trouble. He couldn't go. Debbie had something happen to her. She couldn't go. Other people had, there were broken legs. There were just different kinds of attacks. And although that trip went, there were some folks that went on that trip. There were several of us on the ministry team that were hindered and couldn't go. And so as I was praying over this and seeking the Lord over this, about what's going on, how can we prevent this kind of thing from happening, the Lord gave me a spiritual dream. And I don't know if you've ever watched any monster movies, but like in the olden days, the movies about Godzilla or the spiders that invaded Cleveland, or the crabs that came up out of the ocean, the giant crabs that were caused to be giants because of radioactivity and stuff. This is back in the 60s. And, of course, you know, lots of scenes of people running and screaming away from these things. Well, that's kind of the way this dream was. And there was this giant crab in the dream, and a lot of his legs were more like spider legs, but they had very sharp points, and we would be walking along, and all of a sudden there would be this giant claw come down, this giant, I don't know what it would be from a crab, all I can think of is a crab leg with this point, and would hit right in front of us and knock us back, or it would kick up a dust storm around us so we couldn't see. And this happened for a few minutes, that this crab would hinder us, would touch us and cause problems, would put obstacles in our way, would throw up smoke screens that we couldn't seem to get through. And then I woke up and I began to seek the Lord about this. Lord, what are you trying to show me about this? I saw Bishop Chuck a couple of days later, and I relayed the dream to him, and I told him how upset I was about all the stuff that was going on against the ministry team. His advice to me was, he said, just don't give up. Make the devil pay for it. Now, that's a good idea. But I want to do something else. I want to do something that prevents these kind of things from happening. And so the Lord helped me develop this prayer against this evil entity that has been assigned to us and to our ministry team. And that's his job. That's, I think, maybe his only job. And so I want to fight against that. I want to set up things in the spirit so that he's not able to operate against us. So let me pray that prayer for you so you can hear this and hear what I'm talking about. In the name of Jesus, I bind up the evil giant crab prince that's been assigned to us and to our ministry team. I dissolve your assignments in the name of Jesus. I forbid you from hindering, oppressing, or terrorizing us. I also forbid you from putting obstacles up in our way or kicking up smoke screens around us. And in the name of Jesus, I forbid you from touching us in any way, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or financially. And I break your connection with us in the spirit so you cannot find us, in Jesus' name. And so that's the prayer that the Lord has led me to pray. I've been praying that for quite a while. Let me help you understand where some of that comes from. If we look at spiritual examples of dealing with evil spirits, we see that they were always commanded to leave. We talked last time about this concept that's mentioned in Matthew, where Jesus says, "You have been given authority to bind and loose." And that means to allow and to forbid. Bind means to forbid, loose means to allow. And so we have the authority to bind up evil spirits and to command them to leave us. And we don't see any examples in the Word of anybody dealing with an evil spirit where they sent that evil spirit to hell. I've seen people on YouTube. I've seen other ministries do that. I don't think that's scriptural, and I don't do that. In the story of the man that was possessed with many demons, this is the man in the Gadarenes. He said he was possessed with legions of demons. The demons were afraid that Jesus would send them into the abyss. But you know what? Jesus didn't say anything like that. Matter of fact, look at Revelation 20. The first three verses there of Revelation 20 talk about what's going to happen with Satan, and it says that he'll get thrown into the abyss. But this is in the end times. This isn't now. It says, "And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years, and he threw him into the abyss, and he shut it up and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were complete. After these things, he must be released for a short time. So during the millennium reign of Jesus, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus at the end times, which I hope is coming very soon, the enemy is thrown into the abyss and he's bound up. We're not asked ever to command demons to go into the abyss. That's just not scriptural. Even in that story of Legion, turn to Luke chapter 8. Let me find it here. Luke chapter 8. And we'll look at verses 26. We're not going to read this, but I'm going to show you where it is. Write it down. It's too long to read. It's this story of the demon-possessed man that was in the tombs around the Gadarenes. The Gerasenes, as some translations say, and they put him in chains. He would break the chains, and he'd scream, and it was just a difficult situation, to say the least. This poor man was possessed, and Jesus went out of his way to deliver this guy. Well, when we read the story, it says that seeing Jesus, he cried out, and this is in verse 28, and he fell before Jesus, and he said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had been commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times. It goes on and talks about that. Now, in that story, the demons asked Jesus, they said, "Please, there's a herd of pigs nearby, send us into the pigs." And you'll notice that the wording in the gospel does not say that Jesus said, "Go into the pigs." He just simply said, "Go." And after he said that, they went into the pigs. Now, maybe he implied that it was okay to go into the pigs. I don't know. All I know is that we don't see any examples of Jesus telling demons where to go. We just see examples of him binding them up and casting them out and telling them to leave. There was only one example, and it was this one, as a matter of fact, where Jesus, he had a dialogue of any kind with the demons. This is the only time we see that Jesus asked the name of a demon. And in this case, he asked, "What's your name?" He says, "Legion, for we are many." I never ask demons their name if I'm dealing with somebody that's demon-possessed. Because even if they told me what their name was, I don't know that I could trust it or believe it. Because they're of their father, the devil, who by definition cannot tell the truth. If you'll look in John 8, 44, it makes it very clear that Satan is a liar, the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. It says, John 8, 44. So I never ask their names. They're deliverance ministries that make a big deal out of this and make a big show, and they want the demons to scream and the people to writhe on the ground. We don't let them do any of that, okay? We don't let them show off. Look, that's just not appropriate. This is not about them showing off, okay? This is about us being used by the Holy Spirit to deliver some poor person that has been oppressed and controlled by evil spirits and unclean spirits. And so we command them in Jesus' name to be silent. Look at Mark 1, Mark chapter 1, and verse, let's see, it starts in verse 22 through 27 says that they were amazed at Jesus' teaching, and he was teaching them as one having authority, not like the scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know that you're the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet and come out of him." Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves. "What in the world is this?" they were saying. This is a teaching with great authority, you know, because he had control over unclean spirits. Well, granted, here in the United States, we don't see that many people who are actually demon-possessed and they're screaming and writhing and all that kind of stuff. Although we have dealt with a couple of folks like that, growling and saying very inappropriate things in a voice that's not their own and things like that. We have dealt with that in the U.S., but it's rare here. Most of the folks in the U.S. are simply demonized. That means they're being oppressed or hindered or terrorized by demons, influenced by demons. They're not completely controlled. They're not completely possessed by evil spirits. But even when we're abroad and we're praying for folks and they start to manifest like that, we tell them to be quiet and stop in the name of Jesus. And they do. So turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to make a point about something that we've talked about before, and that is this idea that there is a Holy Spirit gift, a spiritual gift that can operate through us. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, you'll find it there. It's called, in some translation it says distinguishing of spirits. In some translation it says discerning of spirits. And what it is a Holy Spirit gift that operates through us to tell us what kind of spirit we're dealing with. Is this an evil spirit? Is this a human spirit? Is this a spirit from God? And then once you know what kind of spirit it is, the next thing that gift does is it tells you how what the spirit is. In other words, you don't have to ask the spirit its name because the Holy Spirit will tell you what kind of spirit this is. This is a spirit of lust. It's a spirit of lying, a spirit of rage, whatever it is. The Holy Spirit should tell us what that is and how it operates. And then the third thing is that this gift of distinguishing or discerning of spirits tells us how to deal with this, that evil spirit and how to dispatch it. And so it's very important that when we're dealing with evil spirits, we are being led by the Holy Spirit. We are walking in the Spirit. We are listening to the Lord. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating through us so that we can deal with these things effectively. And so anyway, that's part of how I've been dealing with this evil giant crab prince spirit that has been, really causing all kinds of grief with us and our ministry team. And I'm telling you, since the Lord's had me praying that on a regular basis, there hasn't been a single trip canceled. There hasn't been a single time that we couldn't minister because the enemy had stopped us or hindered us. And so I believe this is what God wants. And, you know, He wants us to be able to come against these evil spirits so that we can promote, advance in the kingdom of God. One of the other prayers that I have found very effective, and this is a prayer that especially works well when you're ministering with somebody, you're ministering to somebody, and it looks like that maybe they're being affected by an evil spirit. And so you start praying for them. They start showing maybe signs of evil spirits manifest. Like maybe, for instance, they'll say, my knees are hurting. And so you pray for their knees and say, okay, my knees don't hurt anymore, but now my heart is hurting or my chest is hurting. And okay, you pray for their chest. And okay, that's quit hurting, but now my head is hurting. Well, that's almost certainly a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of affliction, whatever you might want to call it. But you listen for the Holy Spirit to tell you what is it and how to deal with it. And oftentimes, if the Holy Spirit says this is an evil spirit and it's hindering their healing or it's bringing sickness or it's bringing false symptoms, then you'll know how to deal with it. This is one of the prayers that I find consistently works well to set the stage for setting them free. It's a very simple prayer. Listen to this. In the name of Jesus, I bind any spirit, not of the Holy Spirit, and cast it away from your physical, spiritual, and emotional person. In the name of Jesus, I bind up any spirit, not of the Holy Spirit, and I cast it away from your physical, spiritual, and emotional person. Matter of fact, I often pray that prayer maybe not every day, but I often pray that prayer over you, our intercessors, and over our parishioners. And I pray that just that the Lord will deliver us from any kind of demonic presence. And I pray that over our houses, our work, play, school, animals, stuff, and bind up any spirit not of the Holy Spirit and drive it away from us and from our property and from everything else. So anyway, good spiritual warfare prayer. There's another spiritual warfare prayer that I think is very important to pray. The folks at Christian Healing Ministries, Francis and Judith McNutt, were the ones that introduced us to this kind of prayer. And they said, you know, when you go to minister to someone, you need to make sure that you're clean, that the atmosphere has been cleared, that the Holy Spirit is going to be free to move. And so it's important that you pray a cleansing prayer or a before ministry prayer, I call it. And so let me pray that prayer with you so you can hear it. And again, all of this stuff, everything that I'm reading from is on a PDF that's on the website. You can go get that. You can find these prayers. And what I want to do is I want to encourage you, don't just pray these prayers. Seek the Lord about these prayers. Lord, should I be praying a prayer like this? And also be saying, Lord, I know that Father Dan prays exactly this way. How should I be praying? Your prayer will probably be different from mine. But some of the prayers, like the prayers against curses that I told you about last time, you need to be praying that every day, okay, to make sure that that nothing sneaks up on you. Well, anyway, here's the before ministry prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over us, and the us is whoever's involved in the ministry team at the time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over us to protect us in the spirit as we minister. I bind up and I drive away any lying spirits that would try to work around us or try to work around the people that we're ministering to. I forbid their operations around us in the name of Jesus. I also bind up any human spirits that would get in the way of your Holy Spirit operating through us in any way that He chooses. Send your angels to watch over us and to guard us during this time of ministry. We empty ourselves of ourselves so that you may fill us with your Holy Spirit and so that rivers of living water can flow out of our innermost beings and into those that we're ministering to. Open our minds, open our eyes, hearts, our ears to your Holy Spirit and pour out on us your grace so that we will be completely yielded to you during this ministry time and so that we will be literally in operating in the fullness of your Son Jesus. I'm not going to repeat that prayer. You can find it on the website and look at it. But I do want to give you a couple of scriptural references for that prayer, okay? Turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. This is part of my daily devotions, this particular scripture. It's Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Paul is talking about how we're supposed to behave, who we're supposed to be. And he says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Have this attitude that Jesus had, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped or held on to. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. We empty ourselves of ourselves so that Jesus can come fill us up with his fullness. And then Jesus can operate through us without any hindrances. And then the other scripture for this prayer is John 7. I'm sure we can find a lot of them, but this is just two. John 7 and verse 38. Jesus is talking, and he's talking about if anybody's thirsty, come to him. He'll give him living waters to drink. And he said, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's exactly what we want to do when we're ministering to someone. We want those rivers of living water to flow through us and into their body, their mind, their spirit, their emotions, whatever it is. Whatever God wants to do to help them and to touch them and heal them, we want to make sure that we're the vessel that will allow that to happen. And then after ministry, you never know what might get stuck to you after you have been ministering. Sometimes evil spirits, sometimes the enemy wants to try to retaliate against you. Sometimes just human spirits that you've been dealing with will get kind of stuck to you and will drag you down. And so after ministry, we pray a cleansing prayer over us and the ministry team. And that prayer might go something like this. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of ministry that we've had together and for the many ways that you have loved on people and touched their lives through our hands. In the name of Jesus, I bind up any evil or human spirits that may have attached themselves to us, and I break them off of us and command them to leave us and to become to us inert and harmless. In the name of Jesus, I forbid any kind of human or spiritual retaliation against us or ours, our family, etc., our intercessors, because of the work that we have done in ministry today. Refill us with your Holy Spirit and with your power, giving us rest for the weary. Bring our hearts and our minds into your peace that passes all understanding. And remind us to rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So a couple of scriptures that go along with that. Matthew chapter 11. We're just about to wrap up. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest, said Jesus. Take my yoke on you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. John 14 and verse 27. Wonderful verse. Jesus says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. It's important that we pray those kind of prayers over ourselves after ministering so that we can be built back up, so that we can be reminded that the Lord wants us to rest in Him, wants the weary to have rest, wants us to have this peace come into us that just passes all understanding that nobody can understand. Okay, we're going to break off there. There are several other prayers we're going to get to. We're going to talk about binding up the strong man, praying against evil princes, all kinds of things like that next time.